This week's Torah has been sponsored by family Bloch, Le'ilu Nishmas, Yitzhak Yehuda Isaac Ben Avraham Moshe, the late Mr. Isaac Engelman. Yutes Kislev, 1st of December, Rabbi Emanuel Danan, Cholav Akum, Part 1.
Good morning, my Rabbi Rabbeisai. I was just thinking, what's the connection between this shir and Henry IV? Shakespeare. Come on. Both come in two parts, right? Am I right? Henry the Fourth, Part One. Henry the Fourth, Part Two. Right. I'm speaking about Cholav Akum. This is a fascinating topic. Even two shiurim doesn't do it justice. But I want to hopefully give you an ushpais, a taste of the sugya. We'll start off by asking relevant questions, and then today, Rabbi Yisai, first of all, I'm not giving any practice. Halacha lemaaseh, a rav has to be asked. But today, what we're going to quote one of the British Prime Minister, that's the basics. Yeah, so we're not even going to speak about the practical halacha, but everything which we will be learning is directly connected to the practical application. But in order to have a good understanding, a thorough understanding of the shailas which we encounter, it is imperative to understand the sugyas properly from the beginning, from the Gemara, which is basically what we'll be doing today. And in Mitzvah Shem, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll take that, what we've learned today, and we'll apply it to modern day situations and to the modern day shayles. But let's just start off with a question. My children, bless them, my younger ones were on powdered milk when they were born, and they couldn't take the Materna. There's powdered milk with a hefsher, and they couldn't take it. So we gave them cow and gate. Which is a So obviously, at the beginning, there's no question. You know, if the child can't drink any other milk, of course it's pekuach nefesh. But the shailas already they continued for quite a while. A few months in, that it wouldn't already be a sakon to try and change to Materna or to try and wean them off the milk would not be any sort of danger, right? In other words, it's definitely worth a try. So I was in doubt. Should we actually try and wean them off the cow and get? We didn't actually. They continued to about one and a half. But that was my shaila. So just to clarify, Rabbi Yisai, to understand, Cholav Akum is in the Sudra Bonon. A choyle, for instance, on Shabbos, you're allowed to do an Isul Drabonon. One is allowed to do a Rabbonon Dikli. Sorry, for instance, on Shabbos, if you can do an Isul Drabonon, for instance, carry from somebody's house to your house, not in the Rishos HaRabim, on Shabbos, then you try to do it b'shinui, in an abnormal way, and if you can't do it in an abnormal way, you can even do it shaloi b'shinui, not in an abnormal way. And similarly, the Gemara in Pesachim says that Isurei Hana, for instance, Orla, the Gemara is talking about Orla, you can smear it in an abnormal, you can be nene from it, not in the normal way. Hana shaloi kedarka, since Hana shaloi kedarka from Isurei Hana is only in Isur Drabonon, that's permissible. Right? So what about Isurei Achila? Here is an interesting Ramah, based on the Gemara in Pesachim again, that one, although Isurei Drabonon are mutar, but Isurei Achila are more severe, therefore even if something is only osur midrabanan, you're only allowed to give isurei drabanan to somebody who's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. But chayla she'ein b'sakana, you can't even give him isurei drabanan. So let's say you've got truma today. Most poskim holds truma b'zman hazeh is not min ha-Torah, right? You're not allowed to give him tevel. You're not allowed to give that chayla tevel unless he's chayla sheyesh b'sakana. So what is the din with Cholav Akum? What is the din with Cholav? What is the din? Is there any heter for powdered milk? What is the din, Rabbi Yisai, if I only eat Cholav Yisrael? Can I eat at a can I eat in somebody's house who's not makbid on Chalav Yisrael, who relies on their mekili? So those are the shailas. And also, can I? What happens if Chalav Stam? If some of the chalav, regular chalav, the person is makbid on chalav Yisrael, but some of the chalav stam fell into his tafshil, would you require shishim? Or can you say, even though you're a machmir, but the requirement of having shishim is already, maybe there's mokin to be maker. So Rabbi Yisrael, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the sugyas, which I hope you will find most interesting. And using the fundamentals we see in the sugyas, hopefully be able to come out with something concrete which has direct relevance to the practical application. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. The Mishnah and Avodah Zarah for number one. Mishnah and Avodah Zarah. Right. So very first of all, the censor, as usual, this Masechta Avodah Zarah, the censor got into it big time. Big time. And every time it says in the Gemara, Akum, in the Mishnah, it should say Goy. Yeah? Not Akum, it should say Goy. For instance, in our Mishnah, in our Gemara, it says, Elu Dvarim Shel Ayvdei Koychovim. The Mishnah on Chavtes Amud Beis gives a list of things of Ayvdei Koychovim. Asura Misura No. It says goyim, and in the Mishnah, you'll say it says goyim. For instance, there it's talking about yain stam yainom is also ba'ano as well, and bosor. There's the mention that if there's a piece of meat where you see a hole cut out against the heart, then it's a sign that's been never loved by the Zohar. So it should always say goyim. So. It should really, we know it as Gvinas Akum, but it's really not Gvinas Akum. Even if the person is not an idol worshipper, the Gvina is prohibited. So the Mishnah on Lamed Hamud Beis says, Eilu Dvarim Shel Ovdei Kochavim, or Shel Goyim, Asuran, Ve'ein Isurano. As opposed to the previous Mishnah, which listed out a list of things which are also not only Ba'achila, but Ba'ano as well, the Mishnah continues to list things which are only also ba'achila. Yeah? Cholav shechal voy oivet kechovim. Milk, which was milked by a non-Jew. Ve'ein Yisrael ro'ehu. And Yisrael is not watching. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara, let's go straight to the Gemara. Cholav lemay neichushlo. So Gemara says, why is cholav also? In other words, although this Mishnah is put next to pasakum, shemen, bishulakum, which the Mishnah calls shlokos. Shlokos is cooked vegetables. Those all are also pasakum, Rabbi Yisrael, and bishulakum because of chasnos, right? Nothing to do with kosher and not kosher, yeah? Kosher and trade. It's because of a special alchok of chasnos, so you don't intermingle with them. This cholav is not forbidden because of that. Right? It's forbidden. Cholav lemay neichushla. What is the problem, asked the Gemara, of cholav akum? So says the Gemara, im ishum ichlufi, if you tell me it's because maybe he changed it around. He's pretending to sell you kosher milk, and really it's not kosher milk. It's milk from a camel or from a davar acher. Says the Gemara, that can't be. Why not, Rabbi Yisrael? Anybody remember? Because they look different colors, yeah? Chiver, Torah milk, cow's milk is white, Tomei Yoroik, but it's green, but sometimes green in the Gemara can mean yellow. I think it's more, it looks like soy, the type of soy, like soya. So they look differently. So therefore, you can tell straight away this is not Cholav Tomei because of its looks. V'im mishum yaruve, so says the Gemara, okay. So I'll tell you what the chashash is. There's cholav tomei here, because it's white. But you know what he did? He mixed cholav tomei into his cholav torah. He's got an extra, he's got milk from his pigs in his farm, which he doesn't know what to do with. People don't buy it by itself, but by itself. Pig's milk. So he's got a good way. He sells you a litre, and really he only puts 90 cl of of Cholav Tor, and he tops it up with Cholav Tomei. So now he can make use of his Cholav Tomei, and he can get away with it because it looks like Cholav Tor, because the majority is Cholav Tor. So says the Gemara, I still don't understand. Well, you can do a test. What's this test? That's this, make it into cheese. Yeah, make it into cheese. Nekum, let us make it into cheese. Yeah, Nekum is Hakoma, make it hard. Yeah, the melacha of, if a person that makes cheese on Shabbos, the melacha is boine. Yeah, the Gemara in Taliyah, Yechai Mishum boine, if you make cheese. Interesting, there's a melacha of binyan with food. Right? Nekum means establishing, make it into cheese. Da'am amar, why? Cholav tor, oimed, cholav tomei, ein oimed. Very interesting. Cholav tomei cannot turn into cheese. Only cholav tor. So, the first thing, when I saw this Gemara, the first thing I was thinking about, well, how does the Gemara know every single tomei milk? How does it know for sure that it won't turn into cheese? Another raya, the one that it's, Torah is min ha-shamayim, but it's not really a raya. Because the pashto says, yeah, you don't have to be choshish for lion's milk and or gorilla's milk or something which is not the norm to milk. That, for sure, there's no chashash that he bought a lion and he's topping up the milk with. So there's animals, there's a specific number of animals which is the norm to milk them. Even though they're not kosher, and the Gemara knows that those don't, and the Gemara knows that those don't turn into cheese. It says the Gemara, do a test, put the rennet inside. Sorry. So says the Gemara, do a test, put the rennet inside, turn it into cheese. If the whole thing turns into cheese, Shalom al Yisrael, you verify this Cholav Tor. Yeah, fair enough. Fair question. So says the Gemara, and the Chanami, you know what? If you take challah from the goy and you want to turn it into cheese, you can. You can. The Gemara says you can, and you can eat the cheese. Yeah. Hacha b'mayaskin on, but the Mishnah, which forbids you to have challah akum, is talking about where you want it for drinking or you want it to eating. You want to make cheesecake into it, right? Cheesecake is not like hard cheese, right? So you want to use it for cheesecake.
So you could test the sample.
Sorry. Yeah. Very good. Right? So says the Gemara, Benishkol minei koli. What does koli mean? Take a bit from it, a small amount. Benikum. Says the Gemara, okay, use this milk for milk, but just do a test again. Take a tit pipette. I bought from the chemist the other week, just last week, to show the Avrechim in Kailal what a tit pipette is. And I took a tit pipette, drew out a little milk. So we're going to do a test with this little bit. We hardly lose anything. It took a few milliliters. And let's turn that into cheese. So says the Gemara, right, so let's turn that into cheese. If that turns into cheese, then you know there's no Cholav Tomei. Says the Gemara, right, why? Because the Cholav Tomei mixed will not turn into cheese. Right, so let's just go over this Gemara's question, so we understand the Gemara's text. The Gemara thinks at the moment that when you turn something into cheese, the whole thing, the whole liquid, will change into cheese. Right? So therefore, if there's Cholav Tomei mixed up, right? Therefore, this Cholav Tomei will be everywhere, right? It's in liquid, everything, Yeshbila, everything mixes up equally. So therefore, if I take this 10 milliliters of milk, and now turn it into cheese, and the whole 10 milliliters has changed into cheese, you know for sure there's no Cholav Tomei, because otherwise how did the whole thing turn into cheese? Says the Gemara, no, you've got it wrong. When you turn into cheese, it doesn't all solidify. You've got nisyula d'chalva. You've got the remnants, you've got the liquid part which oozes away from the creamy, cheesy part. Therefore, every time you do a test, even if you haven't got Cholav Tomei, yeah, you're always going to do a test, and you'll never get the whole thing to turn completely into cheese. You'll always have residue. So therefore, no test will help you, right? You take your 10 milliliters, turn it into cheese, you'll have a majority, I suppose, let's say 85% of it turns into cheese, and 15% of it is liquidized, you haven't verified anything. Right? That's what the Gemara says.
Why? Because maybe the 50%.
Because in now you've got residue milk, right, liquid, you don't know whether there's Cholov Tomei there or not.
But there we said that. Right. You're saying that all the residue is going to be the Cholov.
Okay. Right,
so it's going to be the Cholov Tomei.
Not all of it. There's a mixture. No, sure, not all of it, but there's a mixture. There's a mixture of Cholov Tomei, which you haven't verified that it's not there. Right. Says the Gemara, so according to this territory, so this is really important to understand. Can I have the cheese itself, which I turned from Cholov Tomei, from Cholov Goy? Yes, I can. Yeah, I can have the cheese, and I can eat, but I can't do the test because the test will not verify the rest of it. Right. V'boy seima, and this is the way we pass in the Gemara says, V'boy seima, afilu teima de kaboy lo likvino. Even if you say, the Gemara in the second Loshon doesn't like the Kimto in the first Loshon. The first Loshon holds that if you want to take chalav of a goy and make it into cheese, you can have it as cheese. But the second Loshon doesn't like it because the pashas of the Mishnah, that means the steamer of the Mishnah, is much made, it's completely also. You're not allowed chalav to have chalav of a goy. V'boy seima, afilu teima de kaboy lo likvino. You can say that Mishnah is talking about even if he wants to turn it into cheese. So why can I not? Why does it not help? Cholov Tomei does not turn into cheese. So says the Gemara, Ikad dekoi beine atvi. You might have some residual, little pools, tiny little pools, which are in the crevices of the cheese. That means you've got little holes and crevices. It's true that the Cholov Tomei cannot solidify, but what it can be is be deposited in the gumois of the cheese. So therefore you have this cheese. It's true the solid part is not Cholov Tomei, it's 100% Cholov Tomei, but you might have little tichtuchei Cholov, little pockets, thank you. Of Cholov Tomei inside this Gvina. And this is the way we paskin. So, we see from this Gemara number one, alright, first of all, I wanted to share with you this Gemara, why Cholov Akum is also. And also, you see, and this is really, really critical, you see that the Gemara suggests, let's do a test. That means it's true now that I don't know Cholov Tomei is mixed, I'm not allowed to eat it, but the Gemara says, do a test. And as long as you've verified that there's no Cholov Tomei here, then it will become mutar, right? In other words, don't say, once Chazal asked it, they asked it. Because since you don't always do a test, Chazal asked it they asked it incompletely. We don't say that because the Gemara suggests, let's do a test. Right. That's one Gemara. Now, the other Gemara, there's two other Gemaras that we need to know, and that's the next mission. The next mission is on Lamed Tesam with base, in number 3. Eilu mutarim ba'achila. The following are mutar to eat. Cholov shechalvoi goyve kochavim. Cholov which a Gentile milk. V'Yisrael or Ehu. And Yisrael is watching. What's the question, Rabbi Yisai? Redundant, thank you. Yeah, this is superfluous. If you've told me the first Mishnah that any Yisrael Ra'ehu is also, that's obvious that if Yisrael Ra'ehu is Mutar. So the Gemara says the following. Tnina lehad eton Rabbanan. Our Mishnah supports the following brisa. Yisrael, Yoshev Yisrael betzat edroi, a Yisrael can sit in the side of his field, yeah, shel oved kochavim, of the oved kochavim, and the Yisrael is standing here, and the Oved Kochavim milks, and he brings him, and the Yisrael may drink from that milk. So the Gemara asks, what is the case? Hey Chidomi. Rabbi said, this is just a technical play. We'll get past this technical part, and we'll see how it's relevant. If this non-Jew has not got a non-kosher animal in his field, Shita, then it's obvious. In other words, what are you telling me? What are you telling me that it's mutar? You seem to be telling me a chiddush. Of course it's mutar. He's got no non-kosher animal. He cannot access a non-kosher animal. right? Because there isn't one in his field, yeah? The Israel is sitting there, so therefore it's poshut that you don't need, the Braisa doesn't need to tell me that it is, that it's mutar. So says the Gemara, and if you tell me he has got some camels or he's got some pigs in his field, and you're standing right at the edge of the field, you're not right next to him, that's what the Gemara thought, you're just at the edge of the field that he cannot bring Cholof Tomei into vicinity from outside, but you cannot actually visually see him. So the Gemara asks, so why does that help? What do you mean? He could be milking it. How do you know he hasn't milked his pig? Right? If there is one, am I? Why is it mutar? La'olam, so says the Gemara, there is. He has got non-kosher animals in the field. He is sitting down, he's reading his Tehillim, or he's catching up davening, because he has to be at the milking for so early, so he hasn't said Asher Uval Etzion. So he's reading, or he's learning. He's sitting down. This isn't a great example. Well, they're a bit high. But let's say you've got opaque windows there, and he's sitting down. He's not even looking in the vicinity of where the guy is. But since, as soon as he stands up, all he needs to do is look there. Therefore, it's a slip, it's seeing. Because why? Rabbi said, why is that mutar? Even though he didn't actually see the guy, because the guy is... Thank you. Fear, mirtas, yeah, the guys, but and that's what the Mishnah, the Yamal, the same Akimid Yosef Laichazile. I might have thought that since you can sit, when you sit there, you can't see him. Neichus Duma Maisim Arivlo. Then, meanwhile, he could chaparain quickly before you turn around and mix up the Cholof Tomei. Kamash Malam Kima Dechikoi Chazile Irtusay Mirtas. He is fearful. That means the guy, the yid could turn around any second, right? And catch him in the act. That's why the poskim says, Shulchan Aruch says, it only helps if number one, the guy is milking it for the yid, because if he's milking for himself, there's nothing to be afraid of, right? And he's got to know that, yeah, there's also, otherwise, there's still no reason why you shouldn't mix up the
Tommy Mosh. Right. So, the same reason that the government.
Let me get back, because we've only got. Wait, go. Huh? Yeah. So, okay, Rabbi Isai. So here it's important. Now I'm going to bring the opinions. So, Rabbi Isai, the Gemara asks, yeah? And you tell me, what is the din, Rabbi Isai, if there's no Cholof Tomei in his fields? There's no cholof. He's gone there to milk. There's no pigs, no camels, only cows and sheep, right? What is the halacha? Do you need the Yisrael to be standing at the edge of the field or not? So the Mordechai brings a Yesho Imrim that you do not need. Because what's the chashash? What are we going to be looking for? What do you want the yid to be looking for? The guy is obviously not going to be choleh cholof tomei because he hasn't got any cholof tomei around in his field.
His neighbor could offer.
Right. So that's one opinion the Mordechai brings, but the Mordechai disagrees, and that's why we paskin Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Tesvav. The Mordechai disagrees. Why? Because he says, look at the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, if there's no cholof tomei, yeah? The Gemara doesn't ask, why do you need to stand at the edge of the field? What doesn't ask that? The Gemara says, pshita. Pshita means it's obvious, you don't need to tell me. Right? The Gemara should have asked a much better question. It's not obvious, it's wrong. You don't need the Yisrael Yoshev at the edge, right? So says the Mordechai, you, even if he's got no cholof tomei, which is, I think, even if he's got no cholof tomei in his field, you still need to be standing there, right? You still need a year to be standing there. So the question is, what for? Why do you need this? What is he on the lookout for? The non-Jew hasn't got Cholof Tomei. So there's two possible explanations. Anybody? He could bring from outside the vicinity. He could bring from outside the vicinity. Yeah? He could. Yes, he doesn't have Cholof Tomei, but he's got a friend who doesn't know what to do with all his pig's milk. So we can make an arrangement, We can do a business deal. Sell it to me. I'll mix it up together with my chalav tor, and that way we can do something with the chalav tor. Or alternatively, which is a mahalach of some, that it could be there's some residual chalav tomei, in his buckets, which he bought, let's say, yesterday for his family, and he uses the same buckets for the chalav tomei. So therefore, that's why I need the Yisrael there. I need the Yisrael there. He doesn't need to be watching the milking. I need him to be at the edge of the field so that the non-Jew cannot bring Cholav Tomei into the vicinity. You're right. In his field, he doesn't have a single Cholav Tomei. Right? But I need the Yisrael to be there, that not to check that he's not milking a non-kosher animal, but to make sure that he's not bringing it from outside. Therefore, says the Pri Chodosh, and this is the opinion of many, if there's no Cholav Tomei in the vicinity, the whole town, you can't get hold of Cholav Tomei, it's just not sold, there's no reason to be Choshesh. There's no reason for Choshesh. The only even if we disagree with the Yesh Oimrim, and we say you still need to be standing there, that's to eliminate the Choshesh of Cholav Tomei coming from outside this farm. But if there is no Cholav Tomei, says the Pri Chodosh, or, alternatively, even if there is Cholav Tomei, but it doesn't pay, Cholav Tomei is more expensive than Cholav Toer, you've eliminated the Chashash, there's no reason why he should bring Cholav Tomei into the vicinity, and therefore, it is Mutar, right? And that's the way the Pri Chodosh paskens, that if there's no Cholav Tomei in the vicinity, or even if there is, if it's more expensive, and some say there's Dam Rishonim, the Rashbash, and the Tashbetz, they say if the non-Jews are not allowed to have the milk, they'll get fined. They'll get fined. We're not going with Rav Moshe. That's for next time. They'll get fined they'll get punished because it's against their religion to have Tomei milk. Again, there's no chashash for that, right? You've eliminated any reasonable chashash. So what we've learned today is that the chalav of a non-Jew is also because of the chashash of chalav tomei being mixed inside. And the question is, how reasonable does this chashash have to be in order to be osul? So the yesh oimrim of the Mordechai, which we mentioned, hold. Well, if he's got no non-kosher animals in his field, then that's already, you're right, he could get it from outside, he could go to his friend. But that's already an unreasonable chashash that we don't need to be concerned for, right? Every time you buy cornflakes and the olden days was no Esher, there could always be some trefus, but you don't have to be choshesh for that. That's what this Yesh Oimrim hold, that there's only a chashash of Cholav Tomei if he's got a good reason to mix it. To start telling me that he's going to bring it from outside, we're not choshesh. We don't paskin like this Yesh Oimrim. We paskin like the Mordechai, the Mashmos of the Gemara, that even if there's no Cholav Tomei be'edra, you still need a yid to stand there. Why? Because it's still considered a reasonable possibility that he'll bring milk from outside into the field, right? Then we have, however, says the Pri Chodosh, if you've got no milk at all in the vicinity, or there's no reason, you'd be strange to add Cholav Tomei because it's more expensive, then everybody agrees that's not a reasonable chashash, there's no reason at all he should do it, and therefore that would be Mutar. There is a fourth opinion, which we'll finish off, which holds, and that was the Minhag, that was a prevailing Minhag, not like the Pri Chodosh, the Chidah already brings the Pri Chodosh, and although the Chazon Ish, very interesting, gives it a lot of credence, the Shitta of the Chazon Ish, but there is a fourth Shitta, which, even though the Chashash is very, very minimal, you're right, and Cholav Tomei is more expensive, or it's hard to get off, it's not easy to get a hold of in this town, it is still forbidden. And one of the Achronim mentions that sometimes they add donkey's milk in order to preserve, it helps the preservation of the Cholav, to have a longer longevity. So Bezal Shoshem, we will continue this year. We've learned the basic ideas of why Cholav Akum is awesome. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.